Hello, beautiful beings of light, and welcome to Speak Your Truth podcast with your host, Sonia Mujib. Sonia is an integrative health and wellness coach, spiritual teacher, and transformational healer through her own journey of healing and awakening. Her mission is to help people awaken, expand their consciousness, and activate joy. This show is for people who are intrigued and passionate about health and wellness, the spiritual journey, including energy medicine, ascension, and having deep, soulful conversations with leaders and lightworkers from all walks of life who are also paving the way and helping to create a better planet.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining another episode of Speak Your Truth podcast. Thank you for joining wherever you are, and I hope that you are doing amazing. Today, I have a really special guest. Her name is Carrie Hummingbird. She is a soul guide, a channel and embodiment of White Eagle, an ascended master who specializes in rainbow light activation of the human DNA. She has served as a social activist, leader, philanthropist for over three decades. She is the founder of Skills Not Pills movement and host of The Soul Nectar Show. Miss Hummingbird inspires people to lead their lives wide awake with an authenticity, passion, and purpose that positively impacts others. She catalyzes mind shifts that transform life changes into gifts of wisdom with her Reinvent Yourself programs for individual and group mentoring. She's also the international best-selling author of The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama, an award-winning best-selling book, Awakening to Me, One Woman's Journey to Self-Love, which describes the early years of her spiritual awakening. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming on today, Carrie.
Thank you so much for inviting me to come on, Sonia. I appreciate this.
Yes, I really wanted to have this really great dynamic conversation with you regarding just your work, your life story. I've personally worked with Carrie. She's amazing. And I wanted to bring you on and introduce you to my audience and also just deep dive into a really juicy topic that is all about the mother wound. So I guess we can get started with a little bit about your background, your journey. I love to kind of just give a little background info about how you even got started, because I think that's so relevant.
Absolutely. Yes. I got started in this work because I started realizing that there was something going on with me that needed a bigger solution than what I had been given. So I had been doing a lot of psychotherapy. So weekly psychotherapy sessions on the couch, talking about my problems every single week for decades, taking the pills, all of that. And it just wasn't solving it. And at some point near the end of that cycle, I had a prompt from one of the therapists that said, I think you've had some early childhood trauma, because that's really the only way to explain why this is so traumatic for you, why you're just not making progress. And I got a diagnosis, and that sort of set me on a little bit of a spiral downwards, because once you get some label on you, you sort of start following that pathway. I got an answer now, right? But then it becomes limiting. It becomes self-fulfilling prophecy. So at some point I said, I'm just going to leave all of this. All of this needs to just go, and I need to try something totally new. And that's really when things started opening up. I left the marriage I'd been in for 20 years. I walked away from psychotherapy and I said, no more of this, no more of the pills, no more of any of that. I'm just going to find a different way. And then the entire thing opened up for me. And what I ended up finding was that, yes, indeed, I had some PTSD. I had some early childhood trauma stuck in my heart, in my body, and it needed clearing. And so I found this way to this shamanic energy healing, and everything started to change. Everything started to clear. I started making traction towards the things I said I wanted. And it's so frustrating when you cognitively know that you want to change something, but then you just feel blocked from changing it.
Yeah.
So when I had that first healing, it just it opened up and I thought, I don't even know what this is, but whatever this is, I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm going to do this for myself and I'm going to learn how to do this for others. And so I've been on this 9-year journey of learning about healing and consciousness and personal growth and inner work and, you know, shadow work and navigating all of these inner spaces, inner child healing, all of that. And it's culminated into my current latest project, which is healing the mother wound, which I found to be really the core of all of this. And it's really something that every single human alive today is contending with because of the way that women have been disempowered and abused over centuries.
Right. Yes. Totally agree with you. And this is why this topic is so prevalent, because we're seeing the fall of the patriarchy. We've dealt with father wounds. I think that's kind of, for a lot of females, that's very prevalent, because it's, you know, that male aspect of, you know, dad wasn't there. He didn't love me. I wasn't loved properly. Thing that I really wanted to tap into, because now I think as Gaia heals, we're moving into healing the mother wound, especially our heart space, right? It feels like we can't be whole unless we tap into this arena.
Absolutely. It's a really difficult topic to face, because many of us feel very loyal towards our mothers. And many of us have a great deal of compassion for our mothers, because we see what's been happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, as a mother, I also have tremendous compassion for mothers, because I certainly set out trying to do the best job I could do.
Yes.
And then life took over, and my subconscious and my inner child and all my trauma, my PTSD and everything else. And so I'm trying to heal myself while I'm trying to raise my children. It's a predicament. And I think a lot of women find themselves in that predicament where, you know, we're not done. You know, we're not all like on the mountaintop healed and perfect when we have our children. We're in the middle of our own transformation process. And then we're trying to hold ourselves and hold our children and probably hold our spouses and hold our own parents and the entire family. And then whatever else we're doing, it's pulled in 1,000 directions.
I agree with you, especially when you're actively in ascension, right? Because it's so much that you're holding on your shoulders multidimensionally. It's really interesting you mentioned about the children, because I've gone through a lot as well. And it's funny, because the other day I had a really deep dream, and it was me bathing my son, and I was like bathing him, and he's 18 now. And I was just thinking, wow, I had so much compassion, but it was like a deep look into that past memory that was like, I was here in my body, but I was checked out emotionally. And I was being shown that image to have compassion for myself, but also really forgive myself for everything that I didn't know and what I know now. And so I think, wow, it was like, whoa, subconscious.
Absolutely. And we can really beat ourselves up as mothers for all those mistakes. And so that's really why I wrote this book, because yeah. When I published the last book, The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama, I wrote that in February of 2019, very urgently. I had like kind of this feeling like, you need to write this book extremely quickly and then get it out very, very quickly. And such a time rush. You know, I didn't even know I was going to write this book. So let me make some space for this in my calendar, you know? Right. So as soon as that book got launched in July, I thought I was going to go on book tour. And no, I got tapped. It was like, no, now you're going to write the next book. And this book is actually guided. My first book was guided by the second wave book is guided by White Eagle. This book was guided by White Buffalo Calf Woman.
Wow. She's been majorly in my space. I can't even tell you.
Yes. So it's been 14 months of intimately working with White Buffalo Calf Woman, who is amazing and also a very profound teacher and a doorway to Mother Earth, to divine mother consciousness, and such a profound healing. I've learned so many things. It's been so empowering. and really to witness, to be the witness of all the patterns that have stemmed from this core wound, this mother wound of the disrespect and the dishonor and the abuse and all of these things, this decision that was made by the collective thousands of years ago to like run this experiment and say, hey, I wonder what happens when we completely disrespect women. Well, right. Now we know, we're on the brink. We have to make a change. Right. We have to reconnect. We have to heal this mother wound, reconnect with our divine feminine, divine mother within. It doesn't matter what body you're in. Reconnect with the divine mother, really connect with the earth and heal this ancestrally and on the earth herself so that right. we can be in harmony with all of our brothers and sisters, you know, the plant people, the stone people, the mountain spirits, everything that lives on this planet deserves our respect and honor, including ourselves.
Absolutely. 100% agreed. Can you tell the listeners, how would someone even know if they have a mother wound? What are some traits?
If you're a human on earth, you have it. But let's just say there's different degrees that people have healed things or become aware and made new choices, right? So there's a lot of patterns. So let's just say this is not a man-woman conversation. Okay, so mm-hmm. I want to say that to begin with. But for the women, let's just start there. So let's say you have trouble trusting women. You have trouble, mm-hmm. you have competition with your sisters. Meaning other women, doesn't have to be biological. You feel like they're threatened by that. Or potentially you feel jealous. You see somebody's achieving some success and you feel like you're missing out because you're not mm-hmm. at that place yet. You feel like you don't have any confidence. Or you get some, but then you get self-doubt because somebody doesn't agree with you or you get another perspective and it conflicts what you think you know. And all of a sudden you're doubting everything that you thought you felt or were guided to by your soul or by your inner knowing. And now you're doubting all that. Right. You lack the certainty to take really strong steps towards the knowing that you have in your heart. You can't feel anything, you know, or you feel too much. You feel everybody around you and you don't know where you stop and they start. So there's a lot of ways it plays out. For the masculine, it plays out, you know, maybe you had a father that was really abusive towards your mother. So you don't want to be anything like your father, right? Because you don't want to be like that. But then you find yourself in these strange patterns of not being able to embrace your masculinity, not being able to stand up for yourself, not being able to speak your truth, being afraid of saying what's in your heart because you don't want to hurt your mother.
Right.
These are all ways that it manifests in a zillion other ways. So
right.
we're here to one really navigate that, it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that I really feel that I wanted to touch on with everything that you said is boundary issues. I think that is so, mm-hmm. so prevalent with women, especially where, you know, we have this dis-ease to please and we don't know where our edges are, where someone else begins. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, you're constantly doing something to please someone else, but you're hurting yourself until you get that awareness. And sometimes it's like, whoa, how do I even stop? So if you can give the listeners some tips on what are some key tips on how to even navigate this, besides getting your book, of course.
Yeah, well, yes, the book is a good start. But basically, boundary issues have to do with not wanting to be cast out, mm-hmm. not wanting to be rejected, not wanting to be separated and shamed or shunned. So what happens is that we try to avoid the conflict. And when you try to make peace by avoiding conflict, you actually start a war because it's not true. We have to be willing to lean into the discomfort of conflict.
Yes.
Conflict is a natural process. Just look at the ocean. The ocean rushes to the shore. And that is certainly conflict, isn't it? It's turbulent. The water's meeting the land. There's a lot of friction happening. But what's also happening is there's aeration. You know, there's aeration of the soil. There's air. There's water that comes up into the air. There's a whole process that I'm not a scientist, so I don't know all the process. Right. But you can tell by being at the beach that that's like a really powerful experience. That conflict is generating a lot of, you know, energy that feels really good. Actually, it's cleansing and purifying energy. Right. So we've as women, we have been trained to not have conflict, to avoid conflict by pleasing, by pretending, by manipulating. But see, what happens is that the desire is still there for whatever it is that's creating the conflict. The desire is still there. So instead of going at it directly, which is the more honest way, what happens is the manipulation and the backhanded and the sort of architecting of space and, oh, I'm going to like manipulate this person over here, and then I'm going to create this manipulation, and then I'm going to gaslight, and then I'm, you know, all of these things get started simply because there's an honest desire in one person's heart who's too afraid to ask for it.
Right. But what if you do have this honest desire, and what if, let's say, the person is being honest and expressing their feelings, and they completely get backlashed from the other females that are haven't dealt with any of their wounding, you know, where it's like, where do you go then? You can't meet them heart to heart because the other person may not be open, and it seems like a losing battle.
So this is where it's important for those who are able to heal the mother wound to come into a space of inner knowing that doesn't require outer validation. Right. Inner knowing that doesn't require outer validation is a space of, here's my truth. And in that sharing, your heart can be completely open because you're not defending against anything. There's really, once you're in your truth, there's nothing to defend. There's nothing to convince. You know your truth and you're just simply expressing it. And the other thing is to realize that there's a lot of, you know, this is a tangled little web, but let me just explain another little part of this web, which is another little part of this web is that there's this idea that we can have consensus reality. And that's a false ideology. And we can see evidence that it's a false ideology. Just look at, you know, just look at the Christian church, you know, like everybody's sort of agreeing that there's Jesus, but why then are there like 1,000 different, you know, churches? Because if it doesn't overlap 100% with your ideas, then you reject it. So there's this idea that if we were all really agreeing with the truth, that we would 100% agree with everything that we're seeing. And then we'd know that we were seeing the truth because we 100% agree. It doesn't work like that. It's much more like a gigantic kaleidoscope. That's the oneness. The oneness is the gigantic kaleidoscope. And then inside of the kaleidoscope is little tiny dots, like 8 billion little dots right now. And so each of us is one of those points of light. Well, we each have a unique view into the kaleidoscope, but that doesn't mean that we're going to agree on everything. Because we're seeing it from new angles. We're not seeing the same thing. All we can do is say, yep, there's a kaleidoscope and I'm one of those unique dots.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so, so good. And everyone has their own truth and everyone has their own trauma and everyone is dealing with or learning whatever lessons they need to, right? That's the real complexity of all of this is that everyone is exactly where they're supposed to be and standing in their truth, whether or not they're consciously aware of it or not, right? So how do we soften, right? This whole journey is about softening our heart, opening our heart enough to understand that despite the differences, we're still one, right? Despite all of that, we're still healing.
Yes, absolutely.
Or trying.
Well, and that really, that has to do with realignment. So the realignment is that right now, 8 billion souls are made of Earth. They're merged with Earth. Yeah. 8 billion souls came from wherever they came from in the galaxy or however they came to be. But right now, in this moment, in this incarnation, are merged with Earth consciousness and have a body, physicality, a material realm. That teacher that we all share is Mother Earth.
Right.
So when we realize that this consciousness of this planet is leading us through a series of curriculum that we also agreed to have each individually, right? Then we know the teacher is Mother Earth. So now if you come up to your sister and you two have a conflict, the understanding is to say, Mother Earth has brought us together for some reason. I wonder what that is. Rather than to say, you're just an awful person for not, you know, respecting me or honoring me or seeing life the way I see it or whatever it is, you know, that's the old, that's the part that doesn't know who the real teacher is. Once you know who the teacher is, you realize, oh, this teacher brought us together for a reason. We're both learning something. Okay, well, I surrender to the lesson. What is the lesson? It's a very different place to come from.
Absolutely. And in the bigger scheme of the things, it could be unity, right? I really feel like it's all coming back to unity, coming back to oneness. And there's so many different paths and roads to it. I wanted to go back to your topic about the sister wounds and what I'm seeing so much, especially in the social media space. And, you know, it's so prevalent right now, the jealousy and the competition. It is everywhere. And I don't know if a lot of it is valid, if what we're seeing is even valid, of what the projections and the pictures and the, you know, this is how much money I make and this entrepreneur and this coach, right? And it's so too much right now. I would love for you to speak to that.
Well, this is a product of conditioning. Because how does any force that wants to have power over a group of people, the way to have power over a group of people is to divide them. Now, the strength of women actually is community. The natural strength of women is empathy and community. Building the web of society, that's always been the role of women is in indigenous cultures. If you look at them today, you see that. That women are the ones who feel what's going on, who you know, our capacity in our very bodies to sense and feel is at least double what men have in their bodies. So we have this enormous capacity to be able to feel and sense and know when things are off, our women's intuition. We just know. That helps us to build strong community, to make sure that every voice is heard and to make sure that if there is a problem, it's addressed early, you know, addressing things when it's a pebble rather than a brick wall. Those are the strengths of women. Well, that has gotten torn asunder by this experiment that we ran to see what would happen if you treated women really badly and you made them subject under men. Well, we see what happens. And what happens is jealousy and competition. That's how you divide women. You make them, you say, oh, well, you're all competing over the object of your affection, which is a man. And or whatever that represents. So for some people, that represents power. For some people, that represents status. Whatever the thing is, right? Whatever we're competing over, the definition of power, the definition of status, that could be a man, that could be something else. It could be a job, it could be a title, it could be the amount of money you make. These are all ways of labeling and characterizing from the masculine mind. What is success? What is a successful life? What is, you know, being prized and valued? So now you have sort of this comparison between different people's life plans, as if there's one way to look at success in a life, as if there's one measurement by which all lives could be judged. And that's a false construct as well, because as shared in the Second Wave book, White Eagle talks about the reason why we have a unique thumbprint is to remind us that we are a unique thumbprint. This lifetime, this incarnation, even for our soul, is a unique thumbprint. It'll never be the same. It'll never happen again. It's the one time only. So there is no one path. There is no one standard. that doesn't exist. That was an idea that was promoted for thousands of years, but that doesn't exist. It's not true.
True. And yet so many people are trapped in that matrix of needing validation, right?
And the validation, when it's coming from outside, outside of you, outside people, outside money, outside status, whatever the job title, whatever that, you know, the thing is that somebody's using to validate their existence, that way is going to lead to competition. But if you change it, it's sort of like, here's a visual. So, and it's really codependent. Like, there's a huge codependency in this. It's like, I need somebody else to validate me. So I'm like, I'm going to strangle them until they do, or I'm going to find somebody else who will. Or so the visual is this. So with codependency, you could imagine, let's just take two people. They're like trees right next to each other. And the roots are wrapped around each other's tree trunks, trying to get life sustenance out of each other. Meanwhile, ignoring the greatest reservoir available of life force, right, which is straight down. So when the roots go straight down, it allows every tree to be free because every tree is getting the gold. The gold is the connection deep down into that reservoir of Mother Earth. So when we make that shift, we no longer need to validation from the outside. We have inner validation. We have validation from our teacher, Mother Earth. We know what it is we're here to do. And now we can interdependently connect. We, like you and I, this is an interdependent connection. We both have a soul's curriculum. We're connecting for this conversation. We're sharing a message and we're collaborating, and it's fun and it's enjoying, it's fulfilling for both of us. But I don't need you to validate what I'm saying, and you don't need me to validate what you're saying. We're saying from our hearts what we're called to say, and we're doing it together, but it's clean.
I love that. That was really, really great. Yeah, and that's exactly, again, going back to boundaries, right? It's going back to really just understanding your edges and knowing that there's a greater purpose for connections, right? There's a greater purpose. And I think it, like you mentioned, it requires alignment and it requires grounding and a level of maturity that many are reaching, right? Because without a lot of these deeper healings, there's no way that you can even reach this or understand it or get to understand it. And that's why I really wanted to have this conversation with you. One thing that had been brought up for me, I think it was about a year ago, I was working with a mentor, and he had mentioned, you know, we were talking about something in a deeper healing session, and he said, could it be that your mom is jealous of you? And I was like, oh,
that's a thing. That's actually a thing.
I know. And I was like, flabbergasted, right? And as that came into my conscious awareness, I started to notice it was kind of like a little door opened. And then I got to peek through it, even though it was a little scary and you don't want to admit it.
It's really scary to look at a lot of these things, which is why it's important to do it in community. And, you know, because really we're learning together. The age is sort of the guru that's coming to a close. We're each a guru. Right. We're each able to connect in with our greatest teacher right now in this incarnation. You know, we can argue about, oh, who's the greatest teacher? Well, God, source, spirit, creator, all that is. But right now we're incarnated on Earth. And so Divine Mother Earth is our greatest teacher right now. So when we connect in with her, we get to share the journey with each other. So we only have to be one step ahead or one little puzzle piece figured out. You know, it doesn't have to be this sitting on the mountaintop for decades and decades and decades, most of your life. And then finally at 90, you have some wisdom to share. That's not what we're doing here. We're in the game. We're in the mix. We're in the walk down the city street while we're having our spiritual awakening. you know, right there in the grocery store with our kids screaming, you know, it's right here. So we walked with each other. We're walking home together. This is the journey. And Mother Earth, when you connect back, that's really the thing that we're doing, even now as we're sharing this conversation, the frequency of that is being shared and can be felt.
Yeah.
And it's happening right now. You know?
I agree. I'm sitting next to all my windows and I have seen so many white feathers just flying by, like three so far.
She speaks to us all the time.
All the time. For people that aren't, can you give a tip? So something that I've been doing that I really wanted to share is there's a very, I'm going to post a meditation in the show notes, but there's a meditation by Dr. Joe Dispenza where you you put Mother Earth this in the center of your chest and hold her there. And it is one of the most beautiful meditations I've ever done because you feel everything so profoundly and you feel how to respect it. And it gives you a whole nother insight and light into how grateful and thankful we should be. But for people to have practical grounding steps or even connect to Gaia, can you share a little bit of maybe what you do or how to really anchor into that core energy without, you know, because a lot of people, they do the grounding and then it gets mundane or they're just like, oh, it's boring. I don't feel anything. And so I think people are looking for like more of like a tangible, like, how do we do this?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a relationship. Yeah. Like any other relationship, it's a relationship. So the way that I teach people is I encourage people to open sacred space and start there. Go outside barefoot, stand by a favorite tree. I have in my front yard, I've got my favorite trees. I've got my little fairy garden underneath there. So I'm the weird neighbor on the block. My neighbors are like, what's she doing? But I go out there every morning and I open sacred space. I call in the winds of the south. I turn to the west. I call in the winds of the west. And I have in each direction, I have a little conversation. You know, so getting to know what these directions are here for opens that portal of knowing that is outside of normal reality. So shamanic study is really about changing your perceptual filter from human mind consciousness to earth mind consciousness. It's a different reality. It's a different perception. Mm-hmm. And the deeper you drop into it, the more you can have magical moments. Where you realize, wow, this really is happening. Mother Earth is talking to me right now. So it's being willing to put aside the mind, the human, you know, the mind, put that aside for a different perception. A lot of indigenous people have used drums for this purpose, right? To shift into trance state. So trance state is actually all it really is, and plant medicine and all of that, all it really does is shifts your perceptual view so that you can see through earth mind. And when you get down into earth mind, you understand things on a whole different level. It's fascinating. It's like encyclopedic. There's so much to learn, and it's all happening in a really different way. I would say the divine feminine way is the only way I can really explain. It's not a logical progression way of learning. It's a realization learning. Mm-hmm. So that when you drop into that that way of learning, things really take on a life of their own. And then you're in the dream. And this is what the Toltec people have talked about. Don Miguel Ruiz talks about it in his books, The Four Agreements. And it's when you get into that dreaming space, when you actually realize that you're in the dream and you're awake. But you're in your daytime walking around, but you're still dreaming. That's when you're in the earth mind, because you realize this whole thing is a consciousness that's constantly interacting with you, listening to you. I mean, heck, your whole body is made of earth. Yeah. So she's listening to everything. She knows every little thing that you feel. She knows all your little thoughts. She knows everything. There's no hiding. That's just, you can't. She's merged with you. So when you get into that place, so drums are helpful for getting into trance. You can get a drum and do a drum journey. If you have a hard time meditating, you can get a drum, go sit outside on the ground, take your drum outside, drum, You can rattle. You can do a meditation journey with a rattle. But the longer you spend on the earth itself and just opening, you can even lie belly to belly with the Mother Earth and just place your forehead, like your third eye, right on the earth and like look down, close your eyes and look down through your third eye into the earth, you know, and feel like, I mean, it's pretty direct, but you can just go do that and say, please, Mother Earth, connect with me. I need guidance or support to feel your presence. These egoic layers of consciousness over my brain, I need support to release them so I can perceive you in a more full way. Your prayer will be answered.
It always is, isn't it? For me, it started about 11 years ago when I started to visit Tulum, Mexico, and it was the Mayan land had activated me so fully that every time I, you know, went there, put my bags down, ran to the ocean, she would speak loudly. Like it was loud. It was always just everything I ever needed. I always released it. And so my connection to Mother Earth started with the ocean. And it was just like, take it away.
Thank you so much for saying that, because I hadn't put that piece together. But yeah, I went to Tulum as well. I was very called to go to Tulum. And I was called to go to, you know, Chichen Itza and the other temples nearby there. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. And I went every year for 10, 11 years, sometimes two or three times a year. It was just where I needed that grounding, that activation, and just that cleanse, that purification that I received. And obviously activations that have led up to now moment. But another thing that I would suggest, along with everything Caria says, is just go to the ocean. Like that is just some of the most potent medicine that you will ever receive, and cry it out, you know, receive. And that's another thing about our tears, our salt water, right? So it's like you're merging with that oneness. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, where emotional energy is another aspect of the mother wound, you know, being afraid to express your emotions or having had consequences when you were a child for expressing yourself. Now we're moving into the divine feminine. We're moving back. Those emotions are a guidepost. They're to help you unlock a piece of, you know, your puzzle that needs your attention, needs your nurturing, your compassion, your focus. So those emotions open up so that you'll take a look and become curious. So we're going to be seeing a big shift in the consciousness around emotional energy than what we currently have now, which is sort of, you know, they expect you to be a flatliner, you know, not totally neutral all the time and have no emotions. You know, we have tools for addressing the emotions now. You know, we have the emotion code and things like that, useful tools. That heart wall clearing of the emotion code is a really powerful thing. I've experienced that. So, you know, we're going to be opening our hearts and becoming more vulnerable. It's really the only way to learn from the Divine Mother Earth is to actually clear away the clutter of repressed emotional energies and experiences, because you have to feel it to heal it. You've got to get in it. And if you really want to, you know, drop into this earth mind and this perceptual ability, you got to be able to be clear of the other stuff that you haven't looked at so that you can perceive, you know, open up and feel and perceive.
True. I agree. And if anyone is considering, because a lot of my listeners, you know, they're deep into their spiritual journey or just beginning, how important is it to, you know, if someone is looking to move into their next level, what would you say about plant medicine and getting permission, or, you know, how would you go about doing that to go a little bit deeper into connecting with Mother Gaia? Because she has provided us with everything, right? And for a lot of people, it starts with some sort of plant medicine journey. And so I'm really curious and interested in that myself.
So what I would say first off about that is that plant medicine works really well when you've got an existing spiritual practice and you want to augment it, you want to go deeper. It can be a challenging experience if you don't have, if you're sort of going from zero, you know, spirituality, it can knock you for a whirlwind. But if that's the path you need to take, then, you know, go ahead. But it's better, it's more easy and graceful if you've already began having self-awareness, you've already cultivated time in a day, every day, to take a look at yourself and to be present and meditate or connect with the earth or whatever it is your practice is, your spiritual practice, then it fits in really well with that because it augments it. Because it can open up your access to this earth mind, this earth awareness. It can open up your access to that by releasing the hold of your egoic mind, you know, it can open it up. And you can perceive more quickly with more clarity and more ease and grace the things and the patterns that are going on in your life that you need to look at. Like, a realization has come in very quickly with plant medicine for me. So right. I think it's an excellent tool. It also, depending on what medicine you're working with, it actually can heal and clear a lot of these conditional patterns that we're clearing at this time.
True.
So, you know, and it takes it out. So with ayahuasca, for those of you who have not worked with ayahuasca, that's one of the reasons why people purge with ayahuasca, is because the plant is actually going through the person's entire physical body and consciousness and pulling together the energetic material that is no longer congruent with the person because they're receiving an upgrade from this plant medicine experience. So the most expeditious way to get rid of it is to throw it up. So you know, this is just a concept, a different way of thinking about the human being as, you know, as a sort of consciousness bubble that this plant knows how to navigate and go through and pull out the viruses, you know, and the programs and the things in your consciousness that are holding you back, depending on your intention of working with the plant. So it can be very expeditious. And like I said, the more that you have a deep spiritual practice, the more quickly you can integrate an experience like that so that it is actually creating change in your life. It's not just a one-off or, you know, some experience you have and then like, okay, back to normal. No, it's like you need to integrate that experience so that there's a new normal.
Exactly. And be ready to change or be willing, because if you're not ready, then it's going to be really challenging.
Never really ready, but you know, at least be willing.
Exactly.
Be willing to surrender to the process and trust that it's going to be graceful on the other side. It can be, those experiences can be a bit rocky if you're exploring some big shadow work. That's why you want to do it in a container that is really supportive, really protected, really gives your inner child a safe place to release the things that are, you know, traumatic or difficult. So you want to be held in a really solid container to do that work.
I wanted to ask you something regarding the mother wound and, you know, coming to the realization and just, is it enough to just say, all right, mom, I forgive you for everything, right? Like, we come to this point where it's like, you've done the forgiveness work, you've done this and you've done, I mean, this is for even the audience. Like, they're just like, okay, well, what next? Right. Is it enough to just go, okay, universe, I let it go from this point up until this point. And then is that enough?
Only if you've gone through and trudged through every little shadow. Well. Unfortunately, I definitely understand the desire to quickly forgive and move forward. The problem is that that's a spiritual bypass, and it doesn't have substance, because you'll notice that if you started go that approach, and then you see that your mother again or something interaction happens, the old pattern happens, you'll get angry and triggered. You know, like it'll really piss you off and throw you off. That's how you know that you didn't actually go deep enough. So it's important to really explore it. And there can be a lot of resistance to exploring it. The mind has a lot of resistance to exploring this kind of thing. There's also, patterns of things or conditions that were set in place in your brain potentially where you cut off feeling certain things or cut off awareness of certain things because it was just too painful to be aware of it.
Right.
That has to be healed as well. And the only way to heal all that is to be patient with the process.
That's true. And especially when you have even been the parent to your parent, right? Or to one of your parents. Because I think a lot of people have taken on that role too, where they've been the mother and they were just a child.
Yeah, the role reversal. And so there's a lot of resentment about that role reversal. But if we, when we become spiritual, sometimes what we do is we say, oh, well, that's not true. You know, she was just doing her best. And, you know, and one of my favorites that I used was when I discovered I was working, doing some work with Jose Stevens from the Power Path. And he mentioned that, oh, well, there's old souls and there's young souls and there's teenage souls and there's baby souls. And so just like, you know, there's different ages of humans, there's different ages of souls. And so then I could make a really good story about how, you know, well, my mom is just a younger soul, so she just didn't know any better and I could just forgive this. But even that, that was an avoidance, because what we really want to do is get into the lodged, the pain, you know, the pain inside that mother wound that's lodged in there. Get down deep enough that it can express and release.
And, oh, I love that.
You know, so everything is just trying to avoid that release. Everything is trying to avoid feeling that deep pain, because there's nothing more painful than to feel like your creator didn't love you or didn't want you, in whatever flavor of that there is. But to go in support, in being held, to go deeper into those vulnerable spaces where you can open that, it's like the unfurling of it. It's not a penetration. This isn't a masculine process. This is an unfolding process, a releasing and a relaxing and a softening, so that these things can be witnessed and healed.
Absolutely agreed. And I think the beauty behind everything you said is once you release the grief, there's a new portal that opens, new light that shines in to replace that grief and that anger, that resentment. And I've witnessed it myself, and it is just so worth it.
So worth it. And then true forgiveness can come in. And true forgiveness is really only granted when you have a certain measure of claiming for yourself your soul's curriculum, your dharma, your reason why you chose that for yourself. Then you really can step into forgiveness, because it's not even so much forgiveness at that point. It's more like, oh, I asked you to be this for me. Thank you for doing that for me. It's not even forgiveness at that point. It's thank you. It's gratitude.
So amazing. Coming back full circle is what this, all of this is about, the entire, you know, coming home to ourselves. And yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for coming on today and having this conversation. I hope that the listeners really took away some insights. And where can they find you and your books? And do you have workshops that you offer?
I do. So the new book is on pre-order. You can get the first two chapters, and they're juicy because they have download from White Buffalo Calf Woman in there. That's available at motherwoundbook.com. It's important to put the book part in, because there is another teacher teaching about the mother wound. So it's motherwoundbook.com. And you can get on the list there. You'll find out about the Healing the Mother Wound series. The next one starts at the end of October, but of course there'll be another version of it starting in the spring. So whenever you hop on and you hear this broadcast, there'll be another series. It's about a 3-month series, and we go through and we become aware of the patterns, and we do shamanic healing to clear them so that they have less grip on you. And then you can exercise self-mastery to make new choices in the moment. So that course is really very powerful and successful at helping to shift the paradigm. And then if you just want to have a chat and get to know me and get to know you and see if we blend, then you can go to my website. It's kerrihummingbird.com, K-E-R-R-I, hummingbird.com. And there's a little link to book a chat.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kerri. Before we go, can you give me a quick, or the listeners, how did White Buffalo Woman connect with you? Was it in a journey, a meditation?
You know, I think many of your listeners might have heard of the Sophia Code book.
Oh, yes, I have it. I love it.
I love it too. And I don't know how long ago I discovered that, a while back, seems like maybe 5 years or 6 years ago. And And I didn't really think anything of it, right? I mean, I did it. I thought it was wonderful and I got a big opening, but I didn't immediately start having connections and visions or anything like that. So it was kind of a surprise to me, actually, when I published the book and then I had this spirit tap. For me, the spirit taps are, I just kind of know that someone's standing right next to me telling me, you know, like, hey, you're going to write this book. It's more like I just feel their presence and their consciousness communicating with me. And that's kind of what happened. And I was like, oh, that's White Buffalo Calf Woman. I was like, you're really going to write a book through me. Okay. I was not expecting that. So, So I love that you said that she's really been speaking to you as well. I think she's been speaking to a lot of women. And I know that we are here for the big change. The indigenous prophecy is that the Western woman will lead the change of the world. And I believe that's why this is happening right now for us.
This is, yes, so profound. I'll give a quick share. Yesterday, two sisters and I collaborated for a new talk that we're doing called the Conscious Roundtable. And immediately when I got on the Zoom call, I was like, White Buffalo Calf Woman. I mean, it was so profound. And so she's going to be on the cover of our show.
Yeah, she is making herself known, and she has big medicine for us. So I can just say, having been her student in the creation of this book over the last 14 months, she's a very powerful teacher, and it's worthy to open up and to listen and to learn.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for your insight, wisdom, taking the time to come on. You're such a bright light, and I honor you. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And please like, share, and subscribe with your tribe, your community, your soul family, because everyone needs this information. And the medicine Carrie is sharing so generously with humanity.
Thank you so much for taking the time and tuning in today. Hopefully you learned some valuable tools. And if you need more inspiration, health or transformational coaching, or spiritual mentoring sessions, please visit www.depthfuljourney.com, and you can find more ways to connect with Sonia there. Stay tuned for the next episode, and please don't forget to share, like, and subscribe.